I don't know if we have any perfect people in here, but in history, no one has been perfect except Jesus Christ. Amen? No one can claim to have been obediently, perfect obedience to God except Jesus Christ. But we have these commandments that says to love God with all your total being and to love others as much as you love yourself. I know when we look in the mirror, we love ourselves, don't we? Come on, you like what you see when you look in the mirror. Amen? No matter how you look to other people, you like what you see when you look in the mirror. But you look at other people and you don't particularly like what you see. But the Bible tells us to love everyone the way that we love ourselves. Amen? But then our text gives us three impossible commands. Now, I know people say, I've been saying that all the time. I've been hearing that all the time, right? But I'm telling you, those are impossible. Amen? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul wrote this. But if Paul has said, rejoice a lot, if he said, pray often and try to be thankful, I could say, well, maybe I can do that. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you rejoice a lot? Can you pray often and try to be thankful? I think that's what we do. Amen? Because I don't think anybody in here, including myself, can say, I rejoice praying always. I pray all the time. Each and every moment of the day, I'm praying. Every day, no matter what, in each circumstance, I am giving thanks. You can't do that. You can do all things through Christ, but you can't do that. Amen? And I want you to know that those commands wasn't really meant for us individually. Commands are meant for us as a church. You see, because as an individual, I can't turn a faucet on and on about my emotions and everything that I do. But as a church, corporately, we pray often. We pray without ceasing. We rejoice together. Amen? But in order to do that, we had to do some of that before we get in here. Amen? Now, when Paul writes this, he doesn't give us any explanation or help on these commands or how we can obey them. He states it, then he moves on to something different. Amen? But there are other scriptures that offer us help in understanding exactly what these commands mean. Now, when we start to obey these commands, it means that we must also develop different attitudes. In order to obey something, you have to change your attitude. Our attitude is normally one of disobedience. Amen? Paul's idea is stated easily like this. God commands us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. With each command that I just said, I'm going to explain it to you. Because also note that Paul says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is his will. Your will is something that you want to do, not necessarily something that you do. I want to lose weight, and I try with all my will to lose weight, but I can't. Is there something wrong with your will? Absolutely not. But the circumstance is dictating that is not happening. But it can happen if you change your attitude towards what it is that you are doing. Amen? You may have trouble discerning God's will in some areas in your life, But rejoicing always and praying without ceasing and giving thanks are not always, and giving thanks are always God's will for you in Christ. But that last phrase always means that we can't do the first few things if Christ is not there. Amen? Paul says, but by doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has given us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So to obey these impossible commands, we must experience a new birth in Christ and he that dwells in us as we learn to abide in him. So that says it's not impossible for God. It says it's impossible for us. And we must have God inside of us in order to learn to discern to do these things, which are the obedience to God. Amen? So being in Christ and relying on him are the keys to becoming like him in those three qualities. Amen? So God commands us to rejoice always. Does rejoicing always mean that you go around with a smile on your face and a bounce in your step? It's mighty quiet in here, but I already told you that you don't do this all the time. So does rejoicing always mean that you got a smile on your face? Some of you don't have a smile on your face right now. Some of you came in here with your head down. You don't have a bounce in your step. So rejoicing in the Lord does not mean that you always have a smile on your face and you're upbeat in your steps. But I met so many people that have said this to me, and I want to set the record straight, that just because I don't have a smile on my face and I'm not jumping up and down, it does not mean that I'm not rejoicing always. Amen? Amen? Come on. Just because you don't see me doing that don't mean that I'm not rejoicing always. Amen? With some of the major problems in our lives right now, you can't expect everybody to be rejoicing always because we are human and we're in the flesh. So when you see your brother and sister with their head down and they're normally rejoicing, but they're not rejoicing, you should be praying for them instead of looking at them like, what is wrong with them? They always got something going on. Well, God gives a lot of things to people who can handle it. Maybe you don't have nothing going on because you can't handle it. The Bible tells me he gives me no more than I can handle. But so when you see somebody who's got a lot going on, that means that you need to have a lot of prayer going on for them. And every time you got something going on and people know that you got something going on, don't lie and say, I'm just praising the Lord, because you're not. Let people know, I got some things going on and I need you to pray with me. I need some help with a little bit of things going on. I need you. You need me. Confessing the things that are going on in your life is not heresy. It's reality. We're here on this earth. We're going to go through trials and we're going to go through tribulations. The enemy is going to keep attacking and attacking and attacking. Got another thing I want you to know. You're not going to find in the Bible that Paul was always rejoicing. I want you to know in the Bible that Jesus was not always just rejoicing. He's gone through some things to show us that we have to go through some things. When Lazarus died, the Bible says Jesus wept. There's a difference between weeping and rejoicing. It wasn't joy, tears of joy. Amen? The shortest verse in the Greek Testament is rejoice always. Amen? But the shortest verse in the English New Testament is Jesus wept. As Jesus was facing the cross, he was crying loud tears. Amen. As Paul describes himself being locked up in prison, he was not a very happy camper. Rejoice with those, in Romans, he says, 12 and 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He doesn't say exhort those who weep and tell them to stop crying. You ever been to a funeral and people are weeping and they're crying and people are like, oh, you should stop crying. No, you shouldn't. Get it out. People are always trying to tell you what to do. Let it out. Stop denying your feelings. Stop putting on that happy face and never feeling sad. Everything is not happy, hunky-dory. The Bible acknowledges that the trials and tribulations that we do go through, though, they strengthen us. They form us. They make us be the person that God wants us to be. Amen? Paul puts it this way, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That says as you go through your trials and your tribulation, that you are being formed by that trial. That you're being formed, you're being made whole the way that Christ wants you to be. And after you go through this training, then you will have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Amen? When Paul said that, rejoice always, he was writing to new believers. Amen? Because the new believers are the one, they were suffering persecution because of their faith. As we get new people coming into the church, new believers, we have to tell them to rejoice in the Lord. But not to just rejoice without understanding what they're rejoicing about. Because when you rejoice in the Lord, eventually you'll get to the point that you understand what you're rejoicing for. You're rejoicing for not the now situation, but the later future situation. Not just here on earth, but later on in eternity. Amen? Paul was thinking about this when Jesus said these words, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen? James said, consider it all joy. I don't know if you really consider it all joy when people talk about you and persecute you and say all manner of things and do all manner of evil against you. You don't do it. Amen? We get our dander up and all of a sudden we're ready to go against them. And I'm saying it because I do the same thing too. And I got to realize that I need to rejoice in the Lord. But that flesh sometimes gets in the way. I'm saying this to you because I want you to understand that you have to have God in you constantly, that Holy Spirit bringing you back to center where you need to be. Because the enemy wants to get you off kilter. And once he gets you off kilter just a little bit, he can defeat you. Amen? Those of you who know, who've been around, know about how I feel when that person stole my check. Wasn't an easy thing for me to accept. I wanted to do all manner of evil against them, but my wife said, you need to pray for them. And when I prayed for them, they moved. It's nothing like seeing somebody who violated you every day. Come on, somebody. You go to work and that same person who talked about you, who tried to get you fired, that same person who got your check docked, that same person who goes behind your back and talks to the boss about, you got to see them every day. Or you're going to curse them out or you're going to pray for them. Consider it all joy because you're blessed. Aren't you blessed that somebody has you in mind? Now all you got to get is turn them around so when they have you in mind that they pray for you instead of persecute you. Hallelujah. we say, consider it all joy. Don't you know that you have to fight for your joy in the Lord? The enemy doesn't want you to have joy in the Lord. Come on, somebody. You have to fight for your joy in the Lord each and every day that you get up. We see this in the Psalms. The psalmist began crying out to God in the midst of a life-threatening trial. But by the end of the psalm, David is telling him, even through his circumstances, he hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is his attitude. And he's thanking God because he knows that he's going to get out of this situation that the enemy has put him in. Amen? As we go through things, we have to know that God is going to take us out of these situations that we're in. You have to fight for your joy. Your joy, when you fight, you have to fight mentally, spiritually, and not physically. We like to fight physically, but that's not God, what God wants us to do. We go not against physical entities, but against spiritual wickedness. Come on, you know the scripture. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? Paul himself had displayed deliberate joy in the Lord. Arrested without a trial. Thrown into jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas started thanking God for everything that he has done for them. Thanking God and singing praises to his name until the walls started shaking, the prison broke open. God is going to start breaking prison walls that you're in right now if you just start praising him and singing his praises. Amen? How do we develop a spirit of rejoicing always? First, we need to focus on the things that God has freely given to us in Christ. You got gifts that Christ has given you freely. Those other people that are doing these things to you, they don't have these gifts. Matter of fact, they don't understand what it is that you have. They envy you, they want it, but they don't want to go through the process of having it. You're making a sacrifice being a child of God. Amen? You're making a sacrifice in order to get those gifts. But they don't want to make that sacrifice. Amen? If we do all things in the Lord and understand that we focus on the Lord and the riches that we have in him and not on our difficult circumstances, we'll be overcomers through Christ. Amen? The Bible says this joy shines brightest in the darkest situations. So, we got to focus on the riches. I want you to know that each and every one of you that are in here today, each and every one of you, God chose you. He chose you before the foundations of this world. The minister said that God knew that she would be here saying what she said. God knew that you would be here today in this church at this time listening to this message. So it is for somebody. I'm not going to point out who it is for, but God will touch your heart and let you know that it is for you, and that's why you're here. Amen? God chose you before the foundation of this world. In love, he predestined you to be adopted as his child. In you, in him, you have redemption and you have forgiveness of all your sin. So I want to know, if you came in here with a problem, what's your problem now? You should have no problem. Second, we have to walk in the spirit and not the flesh. Joy is a fruit of the spirit. I don't want to be happy. I said that before, but I want to have joy. Joy, you can't just take that away. Joy is not just emotional. Joy is deep down in my soul. Amen? Joy, you just can't take it away. You just can't call me a name and steal my joy. But you can call me a name and I won't be happy anymore. But my joy is eternal. It's in deep. Joy has deep roots inside of me. You have to pull a whole lot of pulling to take that joy outside of me. You ever see a mom with their new baby? They are not happy. They have joy. Because that baby came from deep down inside. You don't just pop it out. You spend time, 9 months or more, and then you produce. God gives you a gift. A mother has joy. That's the kind of joy that we need to have in Christ. Deeper than that, but that's just an illustration so you can have it. To walk in the Spirit means to yield to Christ daily and have him control you in every situation. You see, when you have the Spirit and he controls you in every situation, that's how your joy cannot be stolen. That's how it cannot be stolen, because you rely on him. Amen? Another thing that you can do is sing. When you sing praises to the Lord, or all the things that were in your mind going across like a billboard, all of a sudden it moves away. Because you're repeating the words and you're singing to yourself. You're singing to the Lord. And that takes over your whole spirit. Amen? You ever see somebody doing some work that you say, I'll never do that, but they're singing? Maybe it's because they never thought that they'd be doing that. Or maybe they don't like doing what they're doing, but they're singing. Because whatever it is that they're doing, they got a job. Whatever it is that they're doing, they have it. Whatever it is, they're thanking God for what it is that he's blessed them with. Amen? The longest book in the Bible is a song book. Use it often to set your mind on things above. Amen? God commands us to pray without ceasing. Exactly what does that mean? Does that mean we pray every waking moment? Does it mean that we just keep going without ceasing? Well, when they talk about without ceasing, they're talking about like when you have a cough and you got a cold and you continually cough. And it seems like you're coughing without ceasing. You're praying like without ceasing. You're praying often. Often. It's not without ceasing, but often. Because you cannot pray without ceasing. If my wife asks me a question and I'm praying without ceasing, the way we understand it to be, I won't answer her question. Because my answer to her question is not in my prayer. She says, what do you want for dinner? That's not in my prayer. But I have to take time and cease to speak to her about something. But often, like a cough, we resolve, we go back to praying in all situations. Amen? Praying without ceasing, like coughing continuously. It is also like a military attack. You see, an army will fight or go against the walls of a city. If it doesn't succeed, it comes back, but then it goes back again. Without ceasing. They say without ceasing, but it means that they take a break and they go back. They take a break and they go back. They take a break and they go back. When Paul is saying praying without ceasing, he's saying take a break, but go back. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I can tell you further. I'm going to stop using my wife right now. I'm going to use your husband. Amen? I'm going to use your wife. They're talking to you, and you keep praying, and you don't cease to have a relationship with them. How long do you think your marriage is going to last? I don't mean to be so graphic, but I'm telling you the truth. The Lord knows that we're flesh and blood. So when he says certain things, you need to get down deep into the Bible to understand the real meaning of what is being said and what's going on. It's like this morning, somebody said to me, grace and peace. I said, well, what does that mean? Where did you get it from? Who said it? Why did they say it? You go through the Bible, you see grace and peace, grace and peace. People walking around, grace and peace. Grace and peace, Pastor. What does it mean? It is a greeting. But what kind of greeting is it? And who said it? Paul opens up grace and peace because Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And upon the Gentiles, they were dispensated grace. But he was also talking to the Jews. And he would say, Shalom, peace. The Jews at that time didn't really accept grace. The Jews today still don't accept grace. So when he said grace and peace, he was talking to everybody. I'm saying that because I want you to know that you don't be walking around just saying things because it sounds good and somebody else has said it to you. Laying hold of God's promises, we pray. Prayer, when we pray, we claim what God has told us to do in our trials. Amen? In our trials, when we pray, he says, seek and ye shall find. Amen? You're praying for things that you're just praying for. But he says, seek. And he's not saying seek to find out where that store is. He's saying, seek me. And you'll find. The answers are in Christ. Amen? Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him over all us, for us all. How will he not also with him freely give all us all things? If God gave you the most important thing that he ever possessed, outside of you, how can he not give you all things? Think about that for a minute. God gave you one of the most important things that he could never give. He gave his son on the cross. So if he gave you that, what is that? What will he deny you? What will he deny you? He will deny you nothing. But it's all in his will. And if you don't get what you think that you want or what you think you deserve, you have to accept it as being the will of God. Prayer is the language of trusting in God. Do you know that a short prayer works just as good as a long prayer? I love the people that got to pray for 15 and 20 minutes. What for? Come on, what for? He already knows your heart. He already knows what you want. What are you doing? Nehemiah, when he was in front of the king and looking so sad, the king said, well, what's wrong with you? He says, oh, I'm praying, you know, I'm thinking about my home. It's all torn down. It's destroyed. He says, well, what you gonna do? He did a prayer right then and right there. Now, I'm sure that he didn't go on for 15 and 20 minutes in front of the king, but he went a short prayer, a silent prayer. You can pray for somebody without letting everybody know that you're doing this. I pray for people all the time, and I don't have to scream and holler, and I don't have to call their name out. I go to the hospital, I pray for people all the time. I'm very quiet in the hospital. They don't have to know that I'm a minister. They don't have to know anything about me. But I'm just there to do service, not to be noticed. You could pray for people, those demons that are attacking you each and every day, without letting them know that you're praying for them. You can put on the full armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, right in the midst of the enemy, and he has no idea. But he'll feel it. Do you know that? He will feel it. I want to be felt and not heard. The Holy Spirit can be felt. He works through you, and those demons can feel it. just when they're getting ready to say something or to attack you, they're going to take a step back because God is on your side. For if God is with you, who can be against you? Amen? God commands us to give thanks in everything. In Ephesians, Paul writes, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, giving thanks to everything in every situation does not mean that you have to be happy with each and every situation or resigned to accept matters without praying and working for change. You give thanks in everything, but if something is just not working right, you continue to pray and ask for change because God will hear your prayer. Because you do want change. When you don't like something, you want to change it. But you can't change it yourself. God can. So you pray for God and change it. You thank God for having a job, but that person sitting next to you is a demon. You pray, Lord, to change this situation for you. You don't want ill will for that person, but you pray for God to change them. God can do all things. Amen? Joseph illustrates this. Amen? He didn't rejoice in the circumstances that he was in. He didn't rejoice when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He didn't rejoice of that circumstance. He wasn't happy, but he was thankful because his brothers wanted to kill him. But they sold him into slavery. Would you rather be dead or move to another situation? I think we would rather move to another situation, rather be dead. So Joseph gave thanks, even when he was sold, thrown in prison. And even though he resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife, he still gave thanks. Daniel, they said, you can't pray to your God. But every day, three times a day, Daniel prayed to his God and gave thanks. In your situations that you're going through right now, God wants you to still give him thanks. Because if you pray and you believe and you have faith, you can pray that prayer that God, eventually, God, thanks for giving. Because God is going to give you the petitions of your heart. And I'm saying this because this is Thanksgiving pre-Thanksgiving weekend. We have an attitude of ingratitude. And we need to change that. Because Thanksgiving is every day. Every day. And I don't think that every day you walk around saying thank you, Lord, all day. But when you get up in the morning, somebody needs to be on their knees giving God thanks for seeing another day. When you're able to get in your car and go to work, somebody needs to be able to thank God for what he has provided for them. Wait a minute, you left the house, you had a roof over your head. Somebody needs to be thanking God that they had a roof over their head. Come on, somebody. Oh, you washed this morning. Somebody needs to be thanking God that you had water to wash with. Because all the things that I'm saying to you, there's people who don't have that. But we have an attitude of ingratitude, amen, and everything we take for granted. So the blessings of the Lord on our lives, we take it for granted. Came here this morning, hallelujah, expecting that I'm not going to preach. I have to say what I have to say. Amen? And I'm thankful that he's given me an opportunity to do what he told me to do. Amen? But this attitude of ingratitude, we need to recognize it and move on from that. Amen? Because that's nothing but a seed planted by the devil. And if you're not centered in the Lord, he's going to keep doing these things to you. And before long, instead of you being 5 degrees to the left, you're going to be 10 degrees. Then you're going to be 15 degrees. Before you know it, you're going to be around a whole circle around from where God wants you to be. Because the devil, all the time, he doesn't just hit you and knock you down. He moves you over just a little bit. And just a little bit more. And just a little bit more. Before you know it, you don't even know where you're at. And you, how did I get here? When did I get here? Each and every day that you was not thankful for what God has given you and provided you with, you were moving closer and closer and closer away from the mark. Thankfulness is our habit to trust in what God has for us. You cannot be thankful to the Lord and don't trust him. Each and every situation, you must trust that God knows better than you and be thankful for it. Somebody said, well, you know, all the things that you've been through, you know, you need to be thankful. I am. Let me tell you, I think about some of the things that I've done and that I've gone through, where I've been, and I said, how did I get here? It was the Lord. Had he not been on my side, where would I be? Some of you sitting out there right now, if you truly take a self-assessment of where you've been and how you got here today, you'll be thanking the Lord right now because you couldn't do it by yourself. As a matter of fact, you were hopeless. You were in despair. You were homeless. You were hungry, destitute, without a hope and without a prayer. But somebody prayed for you. God had a plan for your life. And although the enemy tried to do things to you, God brought you out of there. For that, you should be thankful. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Right now is the day of the Lord. It is a day of thanksgiving. The children of Israel, God got them out of Egypt. Attitude of ingratitude. Open the Red Sea for them. Attitude of ingratitude. Now you get to the other side, just like us. He delivered us. Now we get to the other side. And now we're wondering, well, where's our food? I'm over here, but where's my food? Scripture says if he feeds the birds of the air, and they don't have to wonder and worry about what they're going to eat. You know when you trust in God, things are going to happen. But see, that attitude of ingratitude, he just brought them from a ridiculous, horrendous place. Right away, their mind went somewhere else. Just like sometimes we do. God takes us through something. And right away, we're on to the next thing without thinking about and thanking God for the last thing, continuously. Amen? It's simple things. It is simple things. God is not a complicated God. He made it very simple for us. Do you know why? Because he is too complicated for our minds. And we're simple people. Don't get offended. I'm one of you. We're simple people. If somebody got up here and said something and you didn't understand what it was that they were saying, you would say, break it down to me. Explain it to me. I don't understand. You see, but God made the gospel simple. So simple. Easy to understand. But we make it complicated. You don't think that somebody would die on the cross, do you? For you. You don't think that God would come down in the form of Jesus Christ. God on earth, go through all the things that he went through for you. You know how I know that we think that? Let me explain something to you. Somebody could have a good husband or they could have a good wife. And that man or that woman will be taking them through trials and tribulations. And the first thing somebody want to say to them is, I can't believe you going through all of that for him. Or going through all of that for her. And before you know it, you'll be listening to those people telling you all of these things. And you'll be walking down to the courtroom down there in New Haven. Trying to get some papers. Amen. But you ever think about the stuff that you put God through? The stuff that you put him through, each and every one of you, what you put him through. He never went down to any court and got a piece of paper against you. He never said, I'm going to dissolve myself with this person right here. He's still always waiting for you to turn things around, to recognize him for who he is, for what he's done for you. He has never, ever divorced you. You put in the papers. 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 And you put in the papers. And he's still sitting there saying, you know, you still got a chance if you don't sign it. You still got a chance if you don't sign it. God is still here today. The beginning of man's rebellion against God was the lack of a faithful heart, amen, and a thankful heart. So what I want you to do today is take inventory. Turn around and look at somebody and say, take inventory. Find somebody else and say, take inventory. Take inventory of your blessings. The songwriter wrote this, count your many blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest and tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Many of us have stopped counting our blessings today. We say, oh, it's Thanksgiving. You think it's just Thanksgiving, you have a blessing today? You have a blessing each and every day. God is worthy of our praise each and every day. He says, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Every day, do you know that every day that you get up, you enter into the courts of life? Ooh. You enter into the courts of life. You enter into his court. He's allowed you to enter in there. You got to give him praise every day. You got to thank his holy name. The scripture tells us to bless the Lord. When you bless the Lord, you confess that the Lord is Lord. You acknowledge that he is Lord. You give him the credit that he deserves. You recognize that he is the source of all true happiness and blessings in your life. That raise that you keep fighting for, that you're going to school for, it's not the blessing in your life. God is the source of all your blessings in your life. Coming home to a hot dinner is not something that you're not going to have if God doesn't bless you with it. We look at all of these physical things not knowing that the spirituality of it all is God and his goodness and his mercy and his grace to you, that you can have those things. Amen? And if you're living a life without gratitude, you're living a life of deception. If you have no gratitude this morning, you're living a life of deception. A life of deception. That deception is that you, let me go over here, that you are the source of your happiness, that you are the source of everything good that's happened in your life, that you are the source of everything that you got because of what you did, how you worked, how you went to school. No, you're not. God blessed you with those things. Let us stand this morning.